And you're complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10. And then chapter 3, verse 11. But Christ is all and in all. In other words, Christ is everything. And so, beloved, when we read such words, we're brought to the very heart of the gospel. And it brings us to the very heart of the Reformed faith as opposed to that which is found in Catholicism. When we understand that we're complete in Christ, it means, of course, that we do not need anyone else or anything else in our spiritual life. We have everything that is needful in Him. In the Roman Church, they introduce Mary in addition to Christ. They tell us that she is needful as a mediatrix of all graces and as a co-redemptrix. Well, they might need her in those ways, but we do not, for we're complete in Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And as for the idea of a co-redemptrix, we read that when He had by Himself purged our sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. They also introduce the intercession of the saints. But again, we don't need the saints, for we are complete in Christ. He provides everything to us, including our intercession on high. As for any need that we have, for intercession above, the Lord Jesus Himself provides it, for He ever liveth to make intercession for us. And we have that laid out in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25. Or 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He ascended back to heaven, and beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ abides at the right hand of the Majesty on high, and there He is pleading His precious blood for us, and you could ask no greater intercession than that. But then they also have introduced the Mass as a means of making reconciliation with God. But again, we do not need the Mass, for Jesus Christ did all that was needed to reconcile us. We read, all things are of God who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. Our reconciliation is done. It is an accomplished fact. God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, as Paul goes on to say. And so where in any of this is there need for further reconciliation? Nor is there any need for a continuing sacrificial system. For by one offering, Christ hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And we have that in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 14. And so please see that in each and every way, we are complete in Christ. Everything that is needed for our spiritual life and welfare is provided in the Lord Jesus Christ. Being complete in Christ brings us again to the very heart of the gospel and again to our Reformed faith. For when we say that we're justified by faith, we mean by faith in Christ alone. Now, we know that we talked at length about this very recently, and we're just going to touch on it somewhat briefly this morning. But there is a great blurring of the lines today so far as the doctrinal distinctives are concerned between Catholicism and the Reformed faith. Now, some might think that it's a very small difference, that is, to add a few works to grace for salvation, but such is not a small difference. For, beloved, to say that there must be works and merit in addition to faith would mean that the merits of Jesus Christ are not enough. Now, we do believe in good works. We do believe in merit. And where there is salvation, there will be these things, but never as the cause of salvation, only as the effect. As for the cause of salvation, it is Christ alone. He is the one and only cause. And again, in this, we see that we are complete in Him. And this is the very heart of the Reformation. Even our faith is not the cause of salvation. It is simply the means by which salvation is received. And the same can be said about repentance. As essential as it is, it is something that travels with faith as the means through which God saves His people, but both are the gifts of God's grace and not the cause. The only cause, the one and only cause, is Jesus Christ, and thus we have the meaning of our text, we are complete in Him. And now for a second head, we'll consider some of the hindrances to enjoying this completeness. some of the common hindrances. There's always the tendency with some to look for something else besides Christ. They simply cannot believe that Christ alone is sufficient. And beloved, this unbelief crosses all denominational lines. It does. There are many definitions of a Christian, and one I like best is that a Christian is one who is satisfied with Christ. A Christian is one who sees that Christ is sufficient, that Christ is complete, that He has done all that we need for salvation. Now many, though they claim to agree with justification by faith, theoretically at least, still they do not commit themselves to Christ because they're not satisfied with their life. They do not see their life as being good enough. There are things in their life that there ought not to be. They do things that they ought not to do, and they leave undone certain things that they should do. And so they say, until I get better, I will not commit myself to Christ. Beloved, they are adding their own life as a means of merit, as though Christ's life and Christ's merit were not enough. What they're saying is that they must add their own merit to that of the Lord Jesus Christ before they can trust Him for salvation. It is common. In other words, when I'm satisfied with myself, then I'll put my trust in Jesus Christ. Well, that is what the Reformers delivered us from back in the 16th and 17th centuries. It was the sufficiency of Christ alone and His righteousness that Top Lady had in mind when he wrote that grand and glorious hymn, The Rock of Ages. He wrote, in my hand no prize I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. He refers to the hopelessness of his tears to save him, and he writes, thou must save, and thou alone. Thou alone, get a hold of that. Not by anything that we can add, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. To be saved, then, we must be satisfied not with ourselves, not with our own life, not with our own merit, but with the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Only as we submit to the salvation of Christ alone, by grace alone, through faith alone, are we saved, and thus we are complete in Him. But then another problem that some have is that they're not satisfied with their love for Jesus. Now, they know that their love is a very fluctuating thing, and of course that's true of all of us. But to such as these I say, it is not your love for Christ that matters, it is His love for you. It is His love for you. Beloved, it's not because you love Jesus Christ that you are a Christian, but rather because He loves you. We love Him because He first loved us. Our love for Christ comes later, and He certainly is deserving of it. But if you're going to depend upon your love for Jesus Christ to become a Christian, you are going to be most, most miserable. Our love can be up one day and down the next, but His love never changes. It's the same yesterday and today and forever. I'm reminded of one of John Newton's hymns, How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds. He wrote, weak is the effort of my heart, and cold my warmest thought. But when I see thee as thou art, I'll praise thee as I ought. Then hear it again. Weak is the effort of my heart, and cold my warmest thought. It was not John Newton's love of the Lord Jesus Christ that got him saved. Rather, it was Christ's love for him. And so with us. Though we ought to love the Lord Jesus Christ, it is not our love for Him that makes us complete in Him, but His love for us. Manifestly, we're complete in Him in that He loved us and gave Himself for us. It was the love of Jesus Christ planned with the Father before the foundation of the world by which He shed His precious blood for us. Unfathomable love. Love beyond our finite comprehension. But there it is. The love of God before the worlds were framed. He so loved us. And God ultimately sent His Son to the world to suffer, bleed, and die in your behalf and mine. And so are we complete in Him? We certainly are. Not only so, but beloved, nothing can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. And Paul makes this very clear in Romans chapter 8 and verse 39. He writes, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. From the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. But then, the next thing we hear from some is that they're not satisfied with their faith. They don't believe that their faith is really strong enough to commit to the Lord Jesus Christ. I would be afraid to put my trust in Jesus Christ, for my faith is so small, my faith is so weak. Very common. If it be so with you, it's beside the point. If it be so with you, beloved, you have small faith, fluctuating faith, weak faith, it's beside the point, so far as what we're talking about just now is concerned. For it is not your hold of Jesus Christ, but His hold of you that really matters. Working up greater faith is not the answer, but rather looking to Him who is the author and finisher of our faith. For, beloved, when we look to the Lord Jesus Christ, faith takes care of itself. Because faith is His gift to us, and as we put our confidence and trust in Him, He gives us greater faith. It is the work of grace, and it's the work of God, the Holy Spirit, of course. Let's say that a little boy and his father are walking along the road hand in hand. Who's holding on to who? Is the father holding on to the little boy's hand, or is the boy holding on to the father's hand? Well, the boy's hand will get weary and tired after a while, get very, very heavy, and just not really be able to hold on. But I'm here to tell you, the father will hold on. The father will continue to hold the boy's hand regardless of how tired the boy's hand might get. Likewise, if your faith gets tired along the way and those gloomy fears and doubts creep over your mind, there is still someone holding on to you, and beloved never lets you go, and He never gets tired. That, of course, being the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's not your holding on to Christ that matters, but His holding on to you. Beloved, it's not your faith in Jesus Christ that matters as much as the Lord Jesus in whom your faith is resting. You might come to a bridge, and you want to get to the other side of a river. Well, that bridge looks strong enough to you. You're very confident. It looks like a very sturdy bridge. And so you skip along, and all of a sudden the bridge collapses, and you find yourself in the river. You find yourself in the water. Well, obviously, your faith didn't help very much, for it was fixed upon the wrong thing. You were trusting in the wrong thing. But then let us say that you come to a bridge that you're not quite so sure of. Your faith is kind of small now. You look upon this thing and your faith is somewhat wobbly or somewhat fluctuating in your faith. But still, you muster up just enough confidence. You muster up just enough faith to venture across that bridge with fear and trembling. But the bridge holds you up just fine. The bridge is strong and sturdy, and you get along, just cross that bridge as nice as you please. And so which was more important, the faith or the bridge? Obviously, the bridge was. The bridge was, and so it is with what we're talking about just now. We see that it's not the faith that matters so much as the person in whom we are trusting, the person in whom we are resting our faith. Faith is important, of course it is. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, but far more important is the object of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes our faith is not very strong, but He is strong and He gets us across. Sometimes our love for Him is not very strong, but His love for us is warm and strong, and He keeps us. And in this, again, we see that we're complete in Him. Not in ourselves, not in our faith, not in our life, but in Him, Jesus Christ. And thus we can say with Jude that He's able to keep us from falling and present us faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. And now for a third head, we'll consider some of the more ridiculous conclusions that ignorance of our text can lead a person to, and even within evangelical circles. Beloved, some look to experience to make them complete as a Christian. I've heard people say that they will not think of themselves as being a complete Christian until they can have the experience of speaking in an ecstatic language, ecstatic tongues of some kind. Well, you know, they have this notion that there's a second work of grace, some kind of an unusual experience that they must go through before they can know themselves to be complete as a Christian. Well, what they're doing, obviously, is that they're looking to themselves rather than to Jesus Christ. Beloved, it's not what we can or cannot do that makes us complete as a Christian, but rather it is our being in Christ, for our completeness is in Him and in Him alone. My, a person would be just as complete in Christ if he couldn't speak at all. If he had no tongue, he would still be complete in Jesus Christ, because our completeness is in him, not in any of our experiences or performances. With others, it's a second work of grace by which they would achieve some kind of degree of sinlessness, some kind of sinless perfection, instantaneous sanctification, as they call it. To them, it is this experience that makes a person complete as a Christian. But again, I repeat without apology that our completeness in Christ comes from our being in Christ and not from anything that we can experience or do. It's Christ and Christ alone. With still others, it is water baptism that makes them complete as a Christian. Many like that. They think somehow that their completeness as a Christian is going to be found in water. And they just refuse to accept the premise that Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone is sufficient. Now, we believe in baptism. Of course we do. We practice it all the time. But only as the symbol, only as the sign of the faith. Our completeness is not in water, beloved. Our completeness is in Jesus Christ. Even heard a minister recently say that it's belonging to his church denomination that makes a person complete as a Christian. Belonging to his church denomination assures a person of a salvation. Now, how ridiculous can it get? I mentioned this, I believe, in the Wednesday night prayer meeting, that he even compared his church denomination to Noah's Ark. And he said there's only one ark, and if you were in the wrong ark, you were going to be lost. And so on that basis, he said, if you're in the wrong denomination, you're lost. You're coming into our denomination is what makes you complete as a Christian and what assures you of salvation. That is nonsense. That is unadulterated rubbish. Any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Not if a person be in a particular church denomination, but if a person be in Christ. Again, baptism, church membership, of course. We recognize the importance of it is all warranted in Scripture. But it is still only by being in Jesus Christ that we are complete in him. And we're placed into Christ, not by water baptism, not by joining a church, but by the power of God, the Holy Spirit, when we believe. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether it be Jews or Gentiles, bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. There it is. If more people knew of the completeness that we have in Jesus Christ, it would save them from an awful lot of tomfoolery, an awful lot of foolishness, and it would give them an assurance and stability that they're very obviously lacking. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. And again, you can add whatever etc. you want. He's given us everything in Jesus Christ. And so if this completeness in Jesus is not yours today, it can be right here and now, by simply committing your life in its entirety to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Once this is done, you're saved for time and eternity, and the completeness of which we speak is yours. Now somebody might say, well, you surely must have the Father as well as the Son. But we answer, beloved, that to have the Son is to have the Father. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, the Lord Jesus is referred to as the everlasting Father. He is one with the Father, one Lord and one God, in the unity and the person of the Holy Spirit. But again, somebody else says we must have the Holy Spirit. Of course we must. But to have Jesus Christ is to have the Holy Spirit, for they travel together. Any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You can have not have the Lord Jesus, of course, without having the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit that unites us to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're totally inseparable. Being complete in Jesus Christ, beloved, will even save you a lot of money that you might otherwise spend on seeking counsel and wisdom of men, being psychoanalyzed and things of this nature. Now, this is not to question that we have need of gifted men and talented men that are able to deal with people's minds. But I'm here to tell you that those that are in the Lord Jesus Christ will have a very minimal need of that sort of thing. The need of that kind of thing will be greatly depreciated, because we have the mind of Christ. And that's what we read in the Philippian Epistle chapter 2. And so all manner of advantage, all manner of blessing and joy and completeness is ours in Jesus Christ, well beyond what most men begin to understand or fathom. But it's all yours by the simple acceptation of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. He is God, beloved, and in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, as we read in the verse preceding our text. And once you've put on the Lord Jesus Christ, by faith you are so complete in the sight of God that you stand in the person of Jesus Christ. His death is yours. His resurrection is yours. His resurrection life is yours. Everything that pertains to the Lord Jesus Christ is yours. And thus with the Apostle Paul, you can say, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You can say with the great apostle that for to me to live is Christ. That is the kind of completeness that we're talking about here today. And it's all yours once Christ is yours. And so if he's not, again, I say he can be. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. You'll be passed immediately and at once from death unto life. And then everything that is needed for this life and in the world to come is yours immediately. Because Christ is yours.